أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 11 to 18, Istafsir. Important points to remember. What ayahs contain the ruling on the law of punishment for someone who commits fornication? And which ayahs mention matter of li'an? And what about a woman who was raped? Does she need to bring forth testimony, or will she be punished as a woman who fornicates? A girl or a woman who was raped does not need to bring witnesses, as they are victims. Islam is not unfair that someone was done wrong and then they be punished for it. The deen of Islam is the deen of fitrah. Some people start controversies that if someone was raped, then they would need to bring four witnesses. This is not the case. We must understand and realize that laws given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are fair. He is Al-Aleem and Al-Hakim. That means He is all-knowing, and all His laws are based on wisdom. They are based on knowledge and wisdom of Allah. For this situation, if we look at Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 33, it is mentioned that those who fight against Allah and His Messenger and spread corruption in the earth, and this is a form of spreading corruption. The scholars have described corruption to mean robbery, killing, kidnapping, raping. For these four types of people, punishments are mentioned. The Imam or the religious authority can prescribe or choose either of the four punishments to the criminals of these acts. So the punishments are that they are to be killed, or crucified, or hand and feet cut off from opposite side, or they be expelled or banned from the land, or imprisonment for today. This is their humiliation in this world. And in the hereafter, they have a big punishment, as mentioned, Azabun Azim. These are the punishments mentioned. In Li'an, this is for a man who sees his wife committing adultery, but cannot bring witnesses. But if a woman sees her husband in that, she can ask for divorce. These ayahs are important to remember, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, for women to learn this surah. And it is important since it contains commands of Allah, which people find difficult or the shaitan makes us forget about. We will go over the story of Ifk, as we learned before that this happened when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from the Ghazwa Bani Mustalik. In Ibn Kathir, this story is mentioned in great detail, and in the Ahadith of Al-Bukhari. This story was narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers herself. May Allah be pleased with her about what had happened to her. So we will look over her own narration, as no one can explain better regarding what happened. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go on a journey, he would cast lots among his wives, and the one whose name was drawn would accompany him on the journey. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew lots among us to see who would go with him on a campaign he was going out on, and my name was drawn. This was the campaign of Bani Mustalik. This happened after the ayahs of the veil were revealed. I would ride upon my hawda, or hawdaj, which was upon the camel, and wherever the caravan would stop, my hawda would be brought down. Hawda is a carriage placed on the back of a camel with a canopy. For the mother of the believers, this was an additional means of privacy and veil. Other women had to observe the veil, but for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this served as an additional privacy. So she narrates Then I would stay upon the howdah, and when the caravan was ready to depart, it would be placed on the camel. So we left, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had completed his campaign, and we were returning back, we were near Medina, and at night call for the caravan to depart was made. So I walked away from my howdah and the army and went to answer the call of nature. Just as when we travel and we make a stop in a rest area, we go and use the toilets. So at that time, they would do this at night so no one could see each other. So at night, the caravan stopped, so whoever needed to use the toilet, they could do so. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states, so I returned back to my howdah, and when I put my hand on my neck, I noticed that my necklace was missing. This was a necklace given to her as a gift by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she loved it. So she continues that I went back to look for the necklace. Meanwhile, the caravan departed. The men who will lift up my howdah picked it up and loaded it upon the camel, thinking that I was still in it. In those days, women were slender, so because of her being so lightweight, the men didn't realize that she wasn't there, and they put her howdah on the camel and departed. She said, I was young, and women at that time did not eat very much. So after some time, I found my necklace, and when I returned, found that everyone was gone. There was no one I could call on or to respond to me. So I returned to the spot where my camel was sitting and waited there. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would find me missing, would return and find me here. This was a very smart idea of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, because if a person gets lost, shouldn't start looking for the lost party. They should remain where the person gets lost, and whenever the party finds a person missing, it could be in a mall or even at Hajj, people start looking for the lost person, and the lost person starts looking for his party or the group. Then both get lost. Therefore, this shouldn't be the case. She was very intelligent in staying there. So she continues, while sitting there, I fell asleep. Safwan bin al-Mu'attal Salami, who had remained behind the caravan, who left before the daybreak, he reached the place where I was in the morning. Safwan was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who followed behind the caravan, and he departed after the caravan had left, so he could pick up anything that was to be left behind. So when he saw me, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, in a loud, audible voice. So what we learn from his saying that is, when we see anything worrisome, out of the ordinary, or a matter of loss, we should only say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is not just when we hear the news of anyone passing away, but even if the light is gone from our house, we can say this because it earns reward. The teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his companions was seen, as when he saw Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha left alone, he said that. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that he had seen her before the ayahs or the verses of veil were revealed, so he recognized her. He saw an outline of a person laying when he was afar, so when he came closer, he saw that was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She says, upon hearing that, I woke up and covered up my face. He brought his camel near and made it kneel so I could ride upon it. In some narrations, it is mentioned that he had the camel sit and turned away his face so she could mount upon it. Then he set out leading the camel. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha continues, By Allah, he did not speak a word to me, nor I spoke with him, except when he had said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He did not have any conversations or say anything to her. She was Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mother of all the believers. All of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are considered mothers of all the believers. The real mothers who gave us birth are our mothers, but these are our mothers of believers because Allah has ordained them as our mothers. So she was like his mother, yet there was no unnecessary conversation, which men and women who are not mahram conduct unnecessarily. There was no discussion or any other word said. So she said, we caught up with the army at Zuhr time. There were people who became doomed because of what happened. Umm Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha never narrates what was said about her. She only says that made it a big matter and they were doomed because of their action. No muhaddith writes what was said by the slanderers. They do not even mention the ill words that were used. Such a bad thing ascribed for a mother of the believers. And to utter such words about her is not appropriate. Then she said, from them who had the biggest share was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, known as the chief of the munafiqeen, or the leaders of the hypocrite. He spoke the most. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and even the companions never thought anything of it. They were just happy she came back safe and sound. But Abdullah bin Ubay was working on his agenda and spreading false rumors about her. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, I was unaware what was being said. As soon as I reached Medina, I became ill and stayed ill for a month. Nor did I hear about anything regarding this, nor anyone said anything about this to me. Whatever the people of the slander were saying, I was unaware about it. Although I felt what was the reason, I didn't see the same show of affection from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he would normally show me in illness. We see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to his wives, and in his sickness he showered them with more kindness than other times. So she felt and wondered what was the reason for his not showing the kindness as usual. I felt very upset about it, but didn't know the reason. The Prophet ﷺ would hear what ill was being said about her. So he would come home, he would greet her with salam, and then say, how are you? And would not say anything else. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I would feel very sad, but did not know anything about the slander. At that time, toilets were not in people's homes, and as an old Arab tradition, people would go out for the purpose to relieve themselves outside of Medina. As even today in remote villages, toilets are not part of the house. So women would go out at night, and having toilets at home was disliked. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha continues, so as routine, I went out with Umm Mistah to relieve myself. At that time, because of my sickness, I was very weak. Umm Mistah was the daughter of Abu Rahm al-Muttalib, and her mother was Sahr bin Amir, the paternal aunt of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Her son was Mistah. So on their way back, Umm Mistah stumbled over her shawl or her apron and said, may Mistah be ruined. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I said to her, what bad have you said? Are you cursing someone who participated in Badr? As the companions who participated in Badr were very noble, Umm Mistah said, innocent girl, have you not heard what he has said? She said, I asked her, what did he say? She said, he is also among those who are saying what people of slander are saying. She said, I was surprised what they were saying. Then she told me what the people of slander were saying. I became even more ill, and grief and sadness overtook me. So So I reached home. For a woman, nothing is more painful and hurtful than when people accuse her of these things, while she is innocent. Abdullah bin Ubay was spreading rumors about her while she was ill at home, unaware, and this slander spread all over Medina. Groups of munafiq or hypocrites were part of this false accusation. She said, "I felt that I should go to my parents' house and find out what was being said about me." Just then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He gave salam and said, "How are you?" So I asked, "If you permit, can I go to my parents' house?" So he gave me permission. Here we learn how she waited for her husband and sought his permission to go even to her parents' house. So the Prophet of Allah gave me permission, so I went to my parents' house and asked my mother, "My mother, what are the people saying?" She said, "This is not a big deal. Do not be upset. Where there is a woman who is loved by her husband, and the other wives would find faults in her, then this would happen." So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha continued and said, "Subhanallah, are the people really talking this way?" Then I was so overtaken by sorrow and grief that I started weeping and did not stop for a moment. I would keep on crying the entire night until morning came and kept crying. This was a big matter for her. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Osama bin Zayd to consult with them, since they were people of his household, and revelation had ceased, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought to consult with Ali and Osama. He asked their advice if he should divorce her. Osama bin Zayd said, "O Messenger of Allah, we do not know of any ill from your family, and we have never seen any bad conduct from them, and our hearts are ready to testify our respect and honor for them." Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O Prophet of Allah, from Allah there is no restriction upon you. There are plenty of other women besides her. If you ask her servant girl, she will tell you the truth." From what we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking consultation is that without wahi or revelation, the Prophet ﷺ didn't know things from himself. If he had known about unseen matters, he would have known that she was not in her hawda and the caravan was leaving without her, and would have known about her innocence. Today, some people assert that he had knowledge of the unseen, or that awliya of Allah have knowledge of the unseen. This is not true. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of the ghaib or unseen. Only Allah is alim al-ghaib. Such false accusations were being made, but he did not know the truth behind it. So they called the girl servant of Aisha radiallahu anha, Barira. Aisha radiallahu anha had brought her as a slave and had freed her, so she would come to her house and do some work for her. So they asked her if they had seen anything suspicious about Aisha. Barira said, "By Allah who has sent you with the truth, I have never seen anything for which I could blame her, except from the fact that due to her being a young girl, sometimes she falls asleep and leaves the dough unprotected and the goats come and eat it up. Apart from this, I have not seen anything wrongful about her." Barira spoke the truth about her innocence and being of young age, so there was no proof for the accusations nor any witnesses present. That day the Prophet ﷺ stood up on the pulpit and said, "Who would deal with the person who hurts me in such a way that he didn't leave my family?" Indicating towards Abdullah ibn Ubay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "I do not know anything except good about my wives." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew himself that it could not be true, and Aisha radiallahu anha was innocent. This was a propaganda being carried out by those who were hateful towards the Prophet. As we know about Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was against the Prophet right from the beginning and always tried to hurt the Prophet. and before him were idolaters of Mecca. He was in disguise of a Muslim and considered one's own as a Muslim and doing this. The Prophet ﷺ continued, "The person they are allegating, meaning Safwan bin Mu'attal, in my knowing besides goodness there is nothing else. He always entered my home with me. He never came alone into my house." Upon hearing this, Sa'd bin Mu'az, chief of all, stood up and said, "O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am here. If he is a man of us, we will cut off his head right now. And if he is from our brother Khazraj tribe, even then, whatever you command, we will not hesitate in what you command us with." Upon hearing this, Sa'd bin Ubadah of Khazraj stood up, even though he was righteous, but the statements of Sa'd bin Mu'ad ignited the tribal pride, and he said to him, "You will not kill him, nor have any authority to kill him. If he was from your tribe, would you have agreed to kill him? You would have not killed him." They knew it was Abdullah ibn Ubay from the Khazraj, and he was being indicated. Most of the hypocrites were from the tribe of Khazraj, because Abdullah bin Ubay was from that tribe, and he had a group of followers from his own tribe. Upon hearing this, Usayd bin Huzail stood up. He was nephew of Sa'd bin Mu'az, and he said, "Sa'd bin Ubadah, you are lying. You are a hypocrite. Are you taking sides of a hypocrite?" Here a heated argument began. So members of each tribe started disputing with each other, and it was near that a fight would ensue. While the Prophet ﷺ was standing upon the minbar, we see this blind support for members of their own tribe, even while they were ready to sacrifice themselves and give up their lives for the Prophet. But when support of their own tribe came, they were ready to support them, even if they were doing wrong. This causes the truth to be overlooked, and the love of one's own tribe, creed, clan makes a person blinded. The Prophet ﷺ was watching all this and was trying to calm them down until they became quiet. Then the Prophet ﷺ left quietly. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "I would spend the entire day crying," which made my parents very sad. This is the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She is the lady. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked whom he loved the most, he said, "Aisha radiallahu anha." When he was asked who among the companions he loved the most, then he said, "Her father." Ones who are most loved by Allah, the Messenger of Allah, and those he loved, to cause pain to them, she and her father were both beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. And this caused him great pain. This was not a small matter. This continued for 1 month, and still no revelation came in that time period. The Prophet ﷺ could not cause the wahi to come, and so Allah would reveal the truth behind the matter, as Allah knows. We do not see any complaints about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this entire ordeal. Neither Aisha radiallahu anha complained nor anyone else, as normally people start complaining about small matters. Such a time of tension it was. We learn how prophets faced so many difficulties. Even after migrating to Medina, we do not see a life of happy ever after. Even in Medina, the Prophet and the believers faced one hardship and trial after another. This was initiated by ones considered their own. What can be more hurtful than when someone accuses their wife, their daughter, or their sister? Even today, an ordinary person will not tolerate this. A man will be ready to kill any person who says such things. Not even an ordinary person can tolerate this. And here was the purest, most noblest person who came upon earth to put a slander against his wife. Who was she, the daughter of, and wife off? So this is the most stressful time, a very difficult time. and how they must have spent every passing day, we cannot even imagine. We learn that this life is not a bed of roses. From one hurdle of life to another, such a life, only through trials, a person is assessed if they are qualified for Jannah or hell. These are the trials. This is one of the trials that fell upon the Prophet and his household. We could be facing a different type of trial. Everyone must go through trials. Well, what is to be seen is our reaction. From whatever trial we come out of, did we please Allah or displease Allah? From our reactions. Then she continues that after continuously crying, her condition became so intense and prolonged. She states that my parents thought my liver would burst from all that weeping. She would cry so much. Both parents would sit in grief. And she says, I didn't do anything but weep until a woman from the Ansar tribe came and started weeping with me. We were in that state until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He greeted and sat down next to me. Since the slander began, the Prophet did not sit next to me. An entire month had passed, and no revelation had come, so anything could be decided. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and recited the tashahhud, and then said, Amma ba'd, and then said, O Aisha, I received these news about you. If you are innocent, then Allah will reveal your innocence. And if you have committed a sin, then seek forgiveness from Allah. When a person accepts his sin and repents, then Allah forgives them. What we learn from this is that no matter how big the sin is, when a person returns to Allah, Allah is ready to forgive them. Therefore, no one should feel hopeless and run away from Allah and think that I committed such a sin and cannot be reformed. We will see who were involved in this slander, and among them were big names. What we see is that we are all humans. So after saying that to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became quiet. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states that upon hearing them, my tears ceased. But why did this happen? Her heart felt cold. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that if she had committed the sin to do istighfar, as she knew she was innocent and didn't know how to make him believe her. This is something difficult for a person who is innocent to prove or justify their innocence. So she said, my tears stopped completely and I did not feel a drop of tear in my eyes. So I asked my father to respond to the Prophet on my behalf. He said, I do not know what to say to the Messenger of Allah. On one side was his daughter, and then on the other the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I do not know what to say. Then she turned to her mother and said, answer the Prophet on my behalf. She said the same thing, I do not know what to say to him. So in the end, I started to answer him myself. I wasn't very old, nor I had memorized a lot of Quran. I said, you all have heard something and have believed in your heart. As when someone hears too much about a certain matter, they start to believe in it, even if it isn't true. So she continued, you have heard of something and planted it in your heart and considered it true. And if I say I am innocent of it, and Allah knows that I am innocent, but you will not believe me. But if I admit of it, while Allah knows that I am innocent, you will believe me. My example and your example is of Abu Yusuf, the father of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, as he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Only patience is befitting. And for what you describe about me, it is only Allah's help that is I seek. Then I turned my face and lay down on my bed. She said that I could not even remember the name of Yaqub alayhi salam due to her innocence, and it was such a difficult time for her. So she says, I said Abu Yusuf. She said, I knew I was innocent, and I had firm belief that Allah would prove my innocence, but I didn't think that ayahs would be revealed regarding my innocence. I considered myself too insignificant that Allah would reveal ayahs in the Quran about me. I would think that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be shown my innocence in his dream. The Prophet did not move from his place, nor anyone left the house. That revelation started to descend upon the Prophet, and he was overtaken by the same state as he would whenever he received revelation, and drops of sweat would fall from his face like pearls. Even in the coldest of winter days, this would happen. So when the revelation ended, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling, and he turned to me, and he said, "Be happy, O Aisha. Allah has declared your innocence." My mother said, "Get up and go to the Prophet." I said, "By Allah, I will not go to him, and I will not praise anyone except Allah. He is the one who proved my innocence." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 ayahs in reference to her innocence. And she said that the Prophet had asked about her from Zainab bint Jahash. She was the most competitive among all the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one could compete with Aisha. As Zainab was from the Quraysh and the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so when there is already a competition and when there was a chance for Zainab to say something she wanted to say about Aisha, but when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, Aisha radiallahu anha said, because of her piety, Allah protected her. And Zainab radiallahu anha said that other than good, I do not know anything else about her, and I guard my ears and my sight. But her sister Hamna bint Jahash, she fought about her, but Zainab radiallahu anha never said anything bad. But her sister said things and became those who were doomed along with some others. Then those who were flogged as a penalty for slander were Hamna bint Jahash, Mistah, and Hassan bin Thabit. Mistah was a companion who participated in the Battle of Badr. Hamna was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his paternal aunt, and Hassan bin Thabit was a poet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made special supplications for him, so they were not ordinary people. What we learn from this is that even while we cannot compare ourselves to these people's level, yet despite being such recognized companions of the Prophet, even they made a mistake. This can happen to anyone. No person is without fault. Even if it is a scholar, teacher, or anyone else, there is an Arabic proverb that every alim or scholar makes a mistake and every horse rider falls. So we cannot think so-and-so has so much knowledge and does so many good deeds. No one can compare to the companions, not even an alim or a waliullah. Then we must realize that humans make mistakes. If people do not make mistakes, then Allah can take away all of them and bring forth other creation who would make mistakes and repent to Allah. So what is important to focus on is not the mistake, but the stubbornness and persistence upon it. What is bad is to not turn back to Allah. What is bad is not to repent after sinning. These things are bad. Also, we shouldn't look for mistakes in others, as no one is free from mistakes. Only angels do not make mistakes, or Allah had protected his prophets from making mistakes and sins. Other than them, all are humans. So those three received the punishment. If we wonder why Abdullah ibn Ubay, who initiated this scandal, as to why he was not punished, this is because Those three received their punishment in this world, and Allah forgave them from being punished in the hereafter. And those who get punished by Sharia here will not get punished in the hereafter. For Abdullah bin Ubay, it is mentioned that he will get Azabun Aleem, which we will read about in the upcoming ayahs. For him is the punishment in the hereafter. In another narration, it is mentioned that Zainab asked Aisha radiallahu anha, "When you mounted the camel, did you say anything?" She said, "Yes. I had said, 'Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil.'" Zainab responded, "You said the kalimat of a mu'min or a true believer." She said, "Such a big kalima that why wouldn't Allah absolve her from the false accusation?" And about Safwan, when the news reached him, he said, "I swear by Allah, I haven't even seen an arm of a woman, and I am being accused of this." In the end, he was martyred, and he was unmarried at the time of his accusation.